We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Coming off the bye week. Rob, what are you doing?
Oh, man, I just had another cramp, man. It was so bad. We're going to need to stop the game or maybe stop this podcast at least three or four more times in this drive. I think I'm going to need it, man. It's hurting. It's something fierce.
This is almost becoming the dad joke of college football at this point.
I'm Rob White, fighting Texas A&M class of 14.
And I'm Roy May, fighting Texas A&M class 2015. And a relatively enjoyable weekend, right? You don't win, you don't lose, you don't have to worry, you don't care.
It's the best kind of weekends. I love a bye week in football, especially coming off of a win, right? You can just go in, fairly low pressure situation. The only thing you can do is move up in the polls based on who loses ahead of you, which is a nice deal, but you can also start to gauge maybe, you know, your next opponent and see how they played, see how the rest of the guys that you've been around play, as well as the guys that are going to be relevant further down the schedule. Not to mention just a bunch of great matchups.
Well, also not to mention coming off a loss, you have an extra week to complain.
Right. Which, thank God we didn't have to do that this time around.
Yeah, like you have that extra week to really truly start digging into film that generally you probably don't know a lot about, but you're still going to find things that you deem are wrong and bad. And so you just have an extra week just to piss and moan about it. I'm just going to piss and moan and take it up the tailpipe. You've been here before, huh?
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
But yeah, great weekend. Weather was beautiful. Didn't have to worry about winning or losing. And as much as I love cooking, one of the things I love about the bye week is I kind of get a week off. Like I just kind of get to be lazy. I don't have to come up with some sort of elaborate plan between the smoker, grill, oven. You know, I can just, like, we just did munchies. That was it. All right. Just suck it up. If you want something, bring it yourself, you know? And ended up, like, I'd planned doing burgers, ended up doing burgers last night because I just didn't even get around to doing them on game day. But woke up, was moderately productive. That's the other thing I love about bye weeks is I find myself being really productive around the house. Mm-hmm. But I woke up, had to run a couple errands in the morning, was able to catch Army, just beating the crud out of UAB.
Insane.
Jordan Daly had a hat trick in the first quarter for touchdowns. That kid is a ton of fun to watch. For the first time since, the Korean War, both are in the top 25?
Both in the top 25, which is... Army's 23, Navy's 25, and splitting them in the middle is Michigan.
Which is hilarious, by the way. They should have ranked Navy ahead of Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So a ton of fun. So I got to watch that game. Just kind of relax, right? Just then you catch the Red River blowout, which I think we all kind of saw coming, unfortunately.
We both picked Oklahoma, but we all knew, like, this was going to be a Texas.
Well, it's just because I can't pick Texas. This is a law, all right? It is what it is. That game, I think, went about how everybody figured it would, especially when you have a freshman starting quarterback. Your wide receiver core looks like a MASH unit.
No kidding.
So I was moderately surprised that OU was able to put up really kind of any fight, quite frankly.
They looked okay in the first half, but really once that depth started showing in the second half, they were cooked.
Yeah, or lack thereof, if you will. And then, you know, one of the slate of night games that were just so great. Yeah, the Oregon Ohio State game, the LSU game, just so many great games. Unfortunately, they were all at once, right? I wish some stuff could have been moved around. Like I'm used to the Red River Shootout being at 11 a.m. If they'd have done that, you know, maybe you can move Ole Miss LSU into the 2:30 slot. Of course, LSU fans won't like that because they don't have all day to get hammered.
Well, I mean, God forbid that we have to play while the sun's up. You know?
Right.
we lucked out. So I was over at the Cigar Lounge watching games all day. And in the back members lounge, we have four very large widescreen TVs that are all set up for whatever game. So at one point, we had whatever. I mean, everybody was playing, and so we could like bounce back and forth, and whatever games weren't we weren't able to see, they were reporting on. So it was good. We got a chance to watch a lot of games at the same time, especially right around that 2:30 slot. And then the whiskey was flowing pretty good on this particular Saturday. So we were locked in and having very deep discussions in the back lounge regarding where Texas football was, because there was a couple of Longhorn guys that attend the lounge, so it was kind of an interesting back and forth, which all ended up boiling down into a discussion about Schlossnagel, and I didn't much care for that, but we were just, what can we do?
Weird place to live if you're a Texas fan. Like, plenty of Aggies live in Austin. Austin is the capital of the state, and but
Yeah.
like, if Austin, like, if Texas were in Nacogdoches, or San Marcos, I can't imagine living there. Like, I would find a way to find employment somewhere else other than to like surround. Like, if I was like, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm not a diehard. I wear, the star 6, 7 days a week. But if I were, like, I couldn't imagine living in Philly or New York.
Or hell, even Houston, I mean, just even a city within the same state. I mean, it's yeah. Well, and when you have those rival teams, especially in your division, yeah. I mean, having that kind of fandom in those towns, it's a dangerous prospect because there are a lot of people that really do. I mean, I saw this on the cruise, and it was one of those deals. I forgot how in to these NFL teams some guys get. Like, I mean, there was a guy on the boat every single day wearing some sort of Philadelphia Eagle paraphernalia. Every single day. It was a hat, a shirt, a something. I was like, golly, do you have anything in your closet that's not green?
Well, and this goes back to something I'm sure we've said plenty of times. Like, professional, like, NFL fans are the worst, and generally professional sports fans tend to be like way, way worse.
And then there's
Because,
hockey.
well, generally, college, generally you have some sort of draw to the team, right?
Right.
Like, you went to the school, or your kids go, or your parents go, or went. It's, but pro fans are, there's not a lot of college football stadiums with prisons in them, all right? But NFL stadiums, on the other hand, have confinement cells.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself should kind of give you an idea. But we actually kind of touched on this weekend, on Saturday, just watching. You get up, you turn on game day, and it's on the West Coast, so it's just dark, right? Because it's just oh dark 30 out there still,
Right.
and they're packed, and they're loud, and they're crazy, and then you watch, everything going on around the Red River Shootout, with the state fair, and the stadium being like dead split down the middle, and then you go see, Death Valley at night, and you see Autzen Stadium, which only seats 60,000, but is a complete bonkers madhouse, right? And it just reminds you that, like, there's just so much. It's just such a higher level of pageantry when it comes to college football. Professional football, like the NFL, is just kind of a business, and that's really what it is. And while I understand that college football is certainly a business, that passion and that fanfare and the traditions and all this other stuff just make it so much more special than the NFL. And that was just hammered home on Sunday watching games. You just, all right, here's kickoff. Here's a football game. Now here's the 3:30 slot. More than likely, it's going to be the Cowboys. And then there's the Sunday night game. And oh, there'll be a Monday night game. And oh, by the way, we're going to do Thursday night. So just flip it on. It's become so stale. And this isn't just because the Cowboys are sucking shit through a straw, by the way.
Fair.
Like, the Cowboys suck, but I'm kind of used to that at this point. But it's just such a stale product. Speaking of the Cowboys game, though, maybe we should call it the Lions game. Kudos to Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell. They just
Yeah.
pantsed the Cowboys in Jerry World on Jerry's birthday.
Well, and I mean, Dan Campbell is just one of those personalities, and not to
Love
mention
him.
he I mean, I love him, and people, anybody who hates on the man, the only reason you're hating on him is because he's not your coach at this
Because
stage.
he's beating your team.
Exactly. You mentioned the pageantry of, of college versus NFL. And I mean, having been to several NFL games and been to many different college environments, whether it's A&M associated or not, it's so cool walking into these college stadiums because you got the bands playing. They're playing the school song that's been, was written however many years ago. And you've got the fight song that's been, prevalent for however many years. Certain traditions, the chants, yells, whatever, that's something that's very particular to college. You see it a little bit in the NFL, like, the JETS stuff, but like with the Jets, but it's on such a smaller level compared to what you see with college. Like, I think that's the reason, I mean, believe it or not, that was the main reason I started getting more into Premier League, back in 2013, was because, these guys are singing for 45 minutes and then, halftime, and then they go for another 45. They don't
Well,
stop.
and I think, well, what you see in Premier League, I think is more, it's more in tune with college football
Yeah,
because
exactly.
London doesn't have a club. London has six, right? And
Correct.
so it's like all these different boroughs within London hate each other, right? Because you have Palace, and whatever. But you have like Chelsea, and you have Tottenham, and you have Arsenal, and you have West Ham, and you have Bournemouth, and you have Palace, and they're all within one city, but like their diehard nature is, it's second to none. And I think that's where a lot of college football fans, if they would get over the whole like, I'm not going to watch something for an hour and a half and it'd be 0-0. But get into the pageantry of what is really the Premier League, to be honest. And this is, and it's funny because Premier League fans will tell you the same as they, get out of these older stadiums, these old boxy, great, awesome venues, and they move into these more corporate structures. The fans are complaining more and more because they feel like the passion is leaving the sport. And so like, but what's crazy is in college football, we can build 107,000, 112,000 seat stadium and it doesn't change anything. I mean, yeah, there's more of a game day script now and I get it. We have a DJ and blah, 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 blah. But the passion of it is just, it's unbelievable. And so Sundays are almost like a letdown. You turn on the NFL, so there's like white noise in the background, so you can do other things about your day.
You're right.
And that's kind of where I've hit with the NFL. I mean, I'll flip it on because it's football and I enjoy the sport 100%. But yesterday I got an inordinate amount of cleaning done around the house, like insane amount of cleaning. And that was including during the Cowboys game or whatever that was at Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, hard to call it a game, but I mean, the competition. I mean, that's even hard to call it a competition.
They wiped the floor with them.
It just wasn't much of a game. But yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of college football, the stuff that we enjoy. And I'm really happy that that's something that we continually get to worry
Well,
about
and
every.
college sports, right? I
Oh
mean,
yeah.
think about the difference between college baseball and MLB, right? Obviously, the talent level, there's the disparity, right? I get it.
Yeah, but the environments are night and day difference, even in smaller stadiums. I mean, whether you look at obviously Blue Bell Park or you look at the Dude, you look at the box. I mean, you go across. I mean, just within the SEC as a whole, you
Maybe
got.
we should have just said SEC baseball, actually.
Well, I mean, but you even see it with schools like Clemson, and you see it with East Carolina, and you see it. I mean, there's a lot of great programs with great tradition, and a lot of it is new. That's been kind of the beauty of college baseball because that's been a growing sport in terms of viewership over the last 5 years in a lot of
Yeah,
ways.
the MLB kind of is what it is. And the only time you'll see massive, changes in fandom or viewership is when, every 20 years they have a strike and everybody says, I'm done with professional baseball. Harump, harump, harump. And then 3 years later you're watching the Astros again. But yeah, there's just I think that's why it's so much more enjoyable just from a college perspective. College basketball versus the NBA.
Yeah, same deal.
Yeah, just
Love the
all.
energy of a college basketball game, especially once you're getting into like these big rivalry games. And then honestly, the NCAA tournament is such a special deal.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up rivalry games. So I'm a meh college basketball fan. I'll always watch my Aggs, right?
Oh yeah.
But I'll kind of watch college basketball. I start engaging as we get closer to March Madness, as we get closer to the conference tournaments. That's when I really kind of lock in, outside of A&M. But I'll watch like Tobacco Road when it's Duke, North Carolina. I'll watch that basketball game. I have no vested interest in who wins that game, none whatsoever. But it's just such a storied rivalry, right?
Yeah. And
It's the passion of it. It's the fun. And NBA environments are the same. They're just corporate and dumb.
Well, I mean, and even on a lesser scale, you look at like A&M basketball. I mean, in particular, kind of late 2000s, our little rivalry we were having with Baylor was pretty gnarly back and
Came out of
forth.
nowhere and it was
Yeah,
awesome.
it was awesome. And like you get little stints of that in college basketball and football and other sports. You know, hell, A&M and TCU in baseball. I mean, you get these little runs with teams that you wouldn't think would be bigger rivals. You know, A&M is a large public institution. You got a school like Baylor, you got a school like TCU. Yeah, they're P5, but they're still smaller private schools that maybe don't necessarily have that same relationship that maybe A&M has with Texas or Tech or LSU or whoever. Yet those are still exciting and fun games for both fan bases. And it's cool that we get those little moments. And it happens across all the sports in college, and I love that.
Yeah, there's very few rivalries, I think, in professional sports that people really get keyed up for, right?
I mean, you know, Yankees, Red
And
Sox at a
even if you
time,
get
right?
keyed up for them, like still, like I can watch the Iron Bowl and like there's some emotion just watching the game because you know what's going on. Like Cal Stanford, that's a big one. Michigan, Ohio State. I have no care about any of this, one way or the other, being a Texas boy, but I understand the passion of it. But like the Lakers versus the Clippers, like the
Yeah.
Lakers, okay, I'm sorry, Lakers Celtics, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care.
That's fair.
Like that's the Stros Rangers, a little emotion there just because I've been a Stros fan my whole life, but I don't care who wins the silver boot or whatever the hell they call it.
Well, it's a manufactured rivalry because so much of it is just Dallas, Houston,
South
and
Carolina.
oh, yeah, South Carolina. Speaking of manufactured rivalries, those bastards. Anyway,
Yes, damn you.
but Rangers Astros is such an interesting manufactured rivalry because there really wasn't one before the Astros made the flip to the AL. And the only reason that it's a rivalry is because you're both in the same division. And, when it comes down to making the freaking playoffs, it's very important for you to win that division and win
Yeah,
those games.
it's important to the outcome, but like if the Stros went 0-9 against the Rangers and won the World Series, nobody cares.
Nobody cares because at the end
No
of
one will care. And the Rangers fans won't be like, yeah, but we beat you all year long. They're not dumb enough to say that. And vice versa. If the Stros won every single game against the Rangers in the regular season, and then the Rangers went on and won the World Series, Stros fans aren't going to be like, yeah, but we got the silver boot. Like, shut up.
hang the banner,
Yeah, right.
you
Yeah, paint it on the wall, guy.
Right.
I
College
didn't know that's where we're gonna
football.
get. Yeah, I didn't know that's where we're gonna go. All right. Well, speaking of college football, we'll get back. Let's get into our picks from last week.
Yeah, let's do that.
I had an abysmal week. I
Yeah.
think again, we both picked OU, right? Because
Right.
we have to.
Out of
So
principle.
we knew that neither of us were going 5-0, right?
Yeah.
So West Virginia, ISU, or Iowa State, excuse me. You got this one right. I got this one wrong. West Virginia continues to prove me wrong in my faith in them. That's why I didn't even put their game as one of our picks this week. I'm sick of them burning me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same deal with Oklahoma State for me. I was just like, you know what, folks, you didn't do it for me, and maybe West Virginia is just that for you, and that's okay.
I am trying to be in your corner. Run the damn ball.
Please.
Which, if any of y'all missed that, go to Aggie Football and see their little bye week thing. That was fantastic.
That was really funny. All of them were
So
pretty funny.
West Virginia drops to Iowa State at home, which I again wasn't a blowout by any means, but Iowa State covered, small line, but they covered.
They covered.
Ole Miss LSU, I got this one wrong. I thought Ole Miss would be able to pull it off. And quite frankly, if there had been a couple more injuries in the game, maybe they could have.
Exactly.
I mean, not that there were any injuries in the game, but
No, that goes back to what we were saying, though. I mean, like, I think LSU was just one of those, it's a weird game, but the fact that it was at night in Baton Rouge was just going to be goofy.
Yeah, Ole Miss LSU is always a bonkers one. There's another one for LSU coming up this week we're going to talk about. But yeah,
Yeah.
Ole Miss LSU, Ole Miss was 2.5 on the road. So again, it's a coin flip again at night in Death Valley. That's a game I'm glad we don't have to worry about this year, quite frankly. Not that I'm scared of LSU. I just hate playing at night in the Red Stick. I do.
Well, and we haven't exactly had, I mean, honestly, in the same vein as Ole Miss, we have not won there in Death Valley in years. years and years and
Well,
years.
and it just it boggles my mind that LSU gets preferential treatment for night games. Like, it absolutely makes no sense. But I guess they just
If you complain about it enough.
I apparently if you throw enough tantrums. I think Vandy at UK, we both blew this one. What the hell is going on in Nashville?
I guess Vandy good. I guess
I guess
we learned
Vandy
something.
okay.
No, Vandy okay.
Maybe. Because I mean, look, you beat Bama, you beat Bama, right? The stars align. Everything was a little weird in that game, and Vandy's able to pull it off. In theory, you should be able to go on the road and beat Kentucky, but we've all seen these one-off upsets, and I
Right.
think we're all still prone to be like, but it's Vandy, right? It's Vandy, and it's not baseball season. What are we worried about, right?
Right,
But okay, all of a sudden, Pavia's got something going over there. Vandy, Coach Lee, you know, I will say one thing for Vanderbilt. They're loyal to their coaches, and it's almost always been to a fault. But maybe Coach Lee's got something cooking in Nashville. So we both donked that one. And how do you not, though? Kentucky's 14-point favorites.
well, and I was going to say, I'm not sure if you saw the comments from Mark Stoops after the game in regards to the
Oh
whole
my gosh,
NIL.
what a moron.
All
You're
I can
literally
say,
saying that you need NIL to beat Vandy?
all I'm saying is if what actually happened last fall when the whole Ross Bjork fallout with Mark Stoops because we pushed back, if that actually happened, I'm patting
Bruh.
ourselves on the back for that because I
Yeah,
cannot believe he said that.
that is a dub for the former students. That is a big time dub.
I can't
Not
believe that.
having Mark Stoops. For those of you who don't know, he got on. He got to the microphone, the post game conference, and basically started complaining about not having enough NIL after losing to Vanderbilt at home. They were in Lexington, and they were two touchdown favorites. And one of his go-to lines was, "I need more NIL." You need more NIL to beat Vandy?
Better
Bro,
Vandy, but
shot
still
show.
Vandy.
Look, if this line had been close, like if Vandy had done a lot of stuff before Alabama, so the Alabama upset maybe wasn't quite as crazy, you'd be like, you know, maybe Vandy's a little more on even footing with Kentucky. But if that was the case, it wouldn't have been a two-touchdown spread.
Yeah.
14 points when we picked it, man. 14 points. And you lose to Vandy at home. You're in Lexington. You lose to Vandy. And you're complaining about NIL? This is going to have the reverse effect. They're going to stop giving until they fire him.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you just unfortunately showed your hand here. Like, you showed that you don't know what's going on, buddy.
What a schmuck. What a schmuck.
schmuck.
Sheesh.
I can't believe he said that. I legitimately cannot believe he said that.
I was shell shocked when I saw that clip. Obviously, I wasn't like hanging out watching the post game press conference, but when you say something that stupid, I don't have to hang out to watch the press conference because it's going to go everywhere.
Yeah, it was all over X. It was all over Facebook. It was everywhere. And I remember hopping on X when I saw that post. And I mean, my jaw damn near hit the floor. I was like, he did not just say that,
That's
dude.
one of those things where you almost want to pay for like a week's subscription to Big Blue Nation just to see what the boards are saying, right?
I bet they're losing their mind.
And then the premier game of the week, which I thought was a premier game, and it had to be, is number two versus number three, right?
Yeah,
Ohio
absolutely.
State travels to Autzen. They're up early. Pat McAfee's making jokes about just getting high as a kite on game. Like Pat McAfee, he's got a shtick, and it is what it is. You either like it or you don't, I think. I think it's hilarious.
I love
The
it.
entire college football world needs a world where Pat McAfee is sitting literally right next to Nick Saban. This is the world we need.
Well, and I think that's going to be the natural progression, right? So we've had, Corso, who was the coach, right, on the pod,
Well, it sounds like his health thing is too lingering to be that he's going to come back.
right. And I think it's a natural, kind of switcheroo. I think Saban fills that role really well because, I mean, the dude can obviously analyze the game better than anybody on the
Oh,
planet.
gosh, yes. Well, and go back for those of y'all that are younger, if you're listening, go back, 10, 15 years and listen to Lee Corso. The man knows football. All right.
Yeah.
He's just unfortunately declining, but the man understands football, right?
Yes. And I think the playoff with him, and obviously as unhinged at times that our friend Pat McAfee can be. But guess what? The kids love it. And they interact and they have a great time. And I've had more fun watching Game Day with Pat McAfee on there than I have in years. It's impressive.
Well, and the dichotomy between him and Nick Saban. So Nick Saban likes Mr. Super Serious, right? If you haven't seen it, there's a, it's like Airbnb Vrbo commercial, whatever. I can't remember which one it is. And
Yeah.
he's like sitting down with all the rules, like no fun. No, like that's a nice grill outside. Don't touch it.
Don't
Like
touch
that's
it.
daddy's grill. Like, and that's exactly how the entire college football world viewed Nick Saban the entire time he was a coach, right? Now it turns out we're getting to see a little fun side of Nick Saban, but
Yeah.
he's still serious and obviously wildly knowledgeable.
Yeah.
But Pat McAfee's no moron. This guy played at the NFL level, right?
No.
For a good long while. And so I think just the personality difference between those two, I honestly, I think it also reinvigorates Kirk Herbstreit's role a little bit because Kirk was almost turning into like the care provider for Lee Corso,
No kidding.
right?
Yep.
And so it didn't allow Kirk to kind of engage in, whether you like Kirk Herbstreit or not. I think he's a great analyst, relative to, when sometimes when he's play by play, he gets super homerish. But I think on the panel, because there's enough across the panel for agreement and disagreement, I think it works really well.
Yeah.
And I think Nick Saban and Pat McAfee being there has loosened the leash a little bit on Kirk as well. So again, I love game day. But anyways,
Yeah, that game.
Ohio State goes out there. What a game to watch.
It was a
That was
blast.
such an exciting game. So if you're not an Oregon fan and you're not an Ohio State fan, if you watch that game and didn't get anything out of it, you need to change sports.
Yeah, that was
All
a
right.
great game. Holy cow.
Great game, amazing environment. Autzen is, it's just one of those smaller bonkers, right? Like we were talking about Premier League, when they're a little bit smaller, they're a little bit more intimate, they get a little bit crazier, even though there's not as
Yeah.
many people. You know, West Ham's at London Stadium now. We have a, you know, two, three times the capacity we had at the Bowling Ground, and the atmosphere is stale and dead.
Right.
So great atmosphere, great game, unbelievable. Like it went down to the wire. Like you just can't ask for anything better than what happened. The curiosity about the whole Dan Lanning extra person on the field. Did you see this?
I
Was that
did.
on purpose? Because it's only a 5-yard penalty now.
I
So if
don't
that was
think
on
it.
purpose,
I don't think it was, but if it
there's,
was,
I can't fathom that it was.
no.
Like that's not the 4D chess some of the best coaches in the world are playing, right?
Right.
That's a little different. So I can't imagine that was on purpose. But if I were Dan Lanning, this reminds me a lot of Lieutenant Spears, right? And they're and later on in the series,
Yeah.
Lipton's asking him, like, you never denied it, what happened? And he talks about basically, do you think maybe it's because if he never denied it, then it's better that everybody thinks that he's the baddest, mofo in the Legion kind of thing. So if I'm Lanning, I'm not denying it, I'm not confirming it. I'm just like, I don't know what happened. Or did it?
I watched that episode last night because I've been going back through Band of Brothers,
Oh, there
right?
you go.
So I literally watched that episode last night. That is hilarious because he's absolutely right. I mean, yeah, he if that's the case, yeah, don't deny. If
Don't
if
confirm.
yeah, don't confirm, don't deny. It's like, well, I heard it from this guy, I heard it from this guy, I heard it from that guy. No, you don't have to deny it.
Just don't confirm it and let everybody start to wonder, oh my God, is he that smart?
Right. I mean, just yeah,
Right?
get their wheels spinning a little bit. Why not?
Well, and then what's the other saying? It's better to be quiet and thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yes.
So to be like, oh yeah, no, we totally screwed up there. Then you look like a total doofus because the game's on the line and you have 12 men on the field. So if I'm Dan Lanning, I'm like, what happened happened.
That's right.
Was it on purpose? I don't know.
I don't know. But that was a great game. And not to mention,
Yes.
oh my gosh. Well, and there were a handful of other games, of course, that we didn't pick in the slate that were also fantastic, between Penn State and USC.
Oh, I'm so
Honestly,
glad we didn't pick that because I would have picked USC all day. I think we talked about it.
yeah, we did talk about it.
It's so here's the interesting difference. And they were talking about, I think that they talked about on game day, traveling two or more time zones. College teams are having a hell of a time. Like they're not winning at all traveling two or more
They're not
time
winning.
zones. But there is a difference, and I know this from years ago because like I love fantasy football, right? I've played it for decades, literally decades. And there was a point where I had three, four teams going on. I was managing two of the leagues. And I really started to dive into those stupid stats, right? Well, I don't know, man. They're playing on Thursday night. It's supposed to be a three-quarter moon. I don't know. So, like, you do these stupid things. But there is one stat that holds up in the NFL. You'd be really surprised. When they travel from the West Coast and the East Coast, or from the West to the East Coast, and they play an early kickoff, they're sub 500.
Right.
And it's not just barely sub 500. See, that's the thing. Penn State traveled from East to West.
Right.
So I think USC goes to Penn State. And if Penn State loses 70% of its production, after the draft or what, in graduation, and USC goes out to Penn State next year, I don't care if USC is better than they are this year. I would be willing to bet that USC will drop that game. It's weird. It's a crazy stat when you're talking coast to coast. East to west doesn't matter. West to east is when it does.
Right.
And so
that was really interesting.
We were rewarded with fantastic football all Saturday.
Well, I mean, yeah, South Carolina, Alabama, the end of that poor game. I mean, if I was a South Carolina fan after all of that,
I would quit just watching sports. I couldn't take it anymore.
I mean, just the clock management at the very end was just abysmal. Like, you did everything else right. You get your score. You have a perfect onside kick. And, like, you're in prime position to get down the field and at least kick a field goal. And you blow it. You absolutely blow it. Like, there was, I have no equivalent to this. I mean, you choked.
Yeah. No, just big time. You choked on the bone, man. And it was funny because so I'd gone into the kitchen, but I have this little hole cut through so I can see the TV from my kitchen.
Yeah.
Because that was like upgrade number one in this house when I bought it. Let's make sure I can see the TV from the kitchen.
Yeah, of course.
But so South Carolina scores and they're kicking off. I leaned my head through it. I was like, watch South Carolina F around and recover this onside kick. Because that was the only way to really make that game entertaining, right? Mm-hmm. Because if Alabama gets the ball off the kickoff, no matter what, this game is well beyond over.
Yeah.
South Carolina, they get it. Like, nobody gets onside kicks. Nobody. Nobody does. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. And then you do, and you blow it.
Absolutely blow it.
It'd be tough to wake up a South Carolina fan on Sunday morning.
No. No, but there was one one final game I wanted to touch on, which leans in nicely to next week, and that's going to be Mississippi State at Georgia.
Ah, yes.
And, good game.
Georgia wins comfortably in the end, right?
Yeah.
Double digits, 40-30, wasn't it?
41-31.
41-31, yeah. So, 10-digit win would be a really good offensive day. 10-point win. 10-point win. So, eventually they're comfortable. So, it's funny you bring that up because I wanted to touch back real quick on on the South Carolina game. Because it's a bye week, right? Go hunting, go fishing, clean your house, go on a date with your wife. Like, just do things, right? And my first thought is between Mississippi State and South Carolina is Tex Aggs has got to be on fire with BAS going, oh, my God, Mississippi State next week. Oh, my God, South Carolina. And I think we already talked about South Carolina being a bit of a trap game to begin with.
Could be, especially being on the road. But
because on the road and where it is in the schedule.
Yeah.
Mississippi State is not a trap game. They're 1-5, right? They are 1-5. Please stop. They're 1-5.
They're 1-5. They're 0-3 in conference. They are the dead last team in the SEC. They are number 16. A&M is currently number one. That being said, looking back at this game flow, as it were, right? You've got, Georgia kind of pulling away there. It was second half of the second quarter. They go up by two scores and then eventually three, they make it a 27-10 game going into the half. And then you score a big one right out the gate, 34-10. And in the eyes of most people, all right, game's pretty much done at that stage.
Yeah, here goes Georgia.
Right. State does come back and score a couple of three total touchdowns over the last two quarters, along with Georgia kind of putting the exclamation point there with 3 minutes to go to make it 41-24. And they score a garbage time touchdown, to make it 41-31. A little better looking. But at the end of the day, I mean, Georgia had 605 yards of offense and a couple of turnovers that helped out Mississippi State.
Can you say that a little bit louder for the Baptists in the back? When did Mississippi State score that touchdown?
They scored that last touchdown with a minute 47 to go.
And what time do we call that?
That is garbage time.
That's later. Garbage time. Okay. Right. Just want to make sure everybody in the back pews are getting that.
Right.
Because look, Mississippi State's a bad football team. All right.
Yeah.
We can't look past that. I'm a fan. I can do whatever the hell I want to, quite frankly, because I don't think the team is looking past it. All right. This Mike Elko is not the coach. This is not the program culture that looks past a Mississippi State game on the road.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Looking at the stats from this game, this is where I find fascinating.
600 yards of offense.
600 yards of offense, which Georgia got 146 on the ground and 459 yards through the air. Meanwhile, on the flip side, if you look at State's rushing, they only had 79 yards of rushing, 306 yards passing.
And again, I'm sure a good chunk of that was in garbage time.
Probably a ton of it was in garbage time. So
this is a 17-point win that was had a little fairy dust sprinkled on it right at the end for South Carolina's or for Mississippi State's feelings.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
South Carolina, look, South Carolina's not Mississippi State, and I get that, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've already talked about South Carolina being a trap game. And this was before they showed up in Tuscaloosa and damn near derailed DeBoer's, you know, time, 10-year ban before it got started.
No kidding. So,
look, fans can do whatever they want to. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to talk about we're going to be, you know, us and the Sips are going to win out until, you know, Thanksgiving weekend and it be for all the marbles, then go ahead, man. Drink. I don't care. Like, dude, as fans, as people that do podcasts, you can talk about whatever you want to. And there's no, we need to make sure we don't look. If I look to 2027's football season, it's not going to affect us. Okay.
Right.
Like, it's going to be okay. This team, this culture, from everything that we know of Elko, they're not looking past Mississippi State.
No. In fact, if anything, that was probably a game of focus in the watch party, if the players did end up having some sort of watch party, right? Like, this is definitely a game to put a lot of focus in on for us going into this next week. And I'm sure they were not overlooking what happened in South Carolina either. But you look at what's going on with Georgia. Like, their top receiver, Arian Smith, he had 5 receptions for 134 yards and a touchdown. He was averaging over 25 yards a catch. And the next closest guy was
Is
averaging.
That good?
Yeah. And the
Does
next
it
guy,
good?
The next guy had was averaging 16 yards a catch, and then 10 yards, 10 yards, 5.5, 30 yards a catch.
And,
I mean,
and they ran for what, like 150?
146 yards. Yeah. I mean,
they ran for 150 and they didn't have to run at all.
Yeah, they absolutely. Yeah, and they didn't run. They didn't run much.
And quite frankly, I think we all know that this isn't the Georgia offensive pass, right? That Georgia is not clicking.
Yeah,
they're just not. All right, and we'll get into Georgia here in a second with Kirby Smart and that whole mess.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that, but yeah, you're not wrong. This is not the same Georgia team we've been seeing, which is something.
Just, yeah, they're just not clicking.
They're not,
and it's. It's surprising that we're at this point in the season and the light hasn't gone on for Georgia.
Yeah.
So, but I love it. You know, this is what we talk about with NIL and parity across rosters. There's no one team that's just going to walk out and blow anybody away right now. Because honestly, a lot of people thought it was Texas and a lot of people thought it was Ohio State. Well, Texas kind of struggled with Mississippi State. Texas hasn't played an offense with a pulse.
Yeah. I mean,
they haven't played anybody that can throw the ball, and Ohio State just lost on the road to Oregon. Georgia isn't this train barreling down the tracks like Bama was for years, right? So yeah. I think it's great for college football.
But
just need to get rid of NIL and get into revenue sharing, but that's a whole nother conversation.
I was going to – there was a comment that was made. I don't remember if it was Portnoy or somebody, but somebody made a comment to the effect of, you know, Oklahoma was putting up a fight in the first half, obviously not much of a game. Oh, college football is better when Oklahoma's good. We've already talked about this multiple times on the podcast. College football is great because it's college football. We honestly don't give a damn who's those good teams. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, there's a lot of prestige in Oklahoma, but if I'm not having to listen to Boomer Sooner every 5 seconds, you know, because it's a national, it's not being nationally broadcast like all over the place, I'm not going to care.
Sports are better when there's more parity.
I agree.
The only people that love dynasties are the people that are in them. All right.
Right. I mean,
like, did anybody fall in love with Alabama? They were like, you know what? I went to A&M, but gosh, they're so good. Let me go get me an Alabama hat.
I mean, hell, just turn around and look at the professional leagues, right? I mean, you know, people are like already pounding their chest about how, oh, a potential World Series between the Yankees and the Dodgers is a great thing. I'm like, how? Because the two most, you know, the two richest teams finally were able to put it all together, you know, and have a shot at a title.
Like, get
Well, I
out of
think
here.
maybe that's what makes me like, I love baseball. I played baseball before I played football, right? I mean, baseball
Yeah.
is probably my first sport love ever.
Same.
Easy, going away. As soon as the Astros lose, I'm done watching baseball for the year.
That's where I've been. All right. I mean, I've kept up with a couple of results. Like, I was hoping to see Hinch and the Tigers maybe to go do something. But outside of that, I just didn't care. My
I'm not
only
even
other.
that deep. Like, literally, I could not tell you who won a game. I don't care.
Fair.
Strohs are out. I'm done. Next sport. Move on. Stars are playing. They're undefeated.
Let's say Stars are playing, Ags are still playing.
Yeah, so let's get in some picks for the. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Let's touch on the Kirby Smart thing before we get into
Yes, let's do
picks.
that real quick before
All
we
right, because
go.
I think you and I might have a different reaction to this. So I'm going to let you lead with this because I know you wanted to talk about it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you see the video evidence of what happens with this whole deal. I'm not sure if anybody did see it, but basically, Mississippi State's quarterback, he takes off for a run. It was Van Buren. Is that him? Or no, yeah, it was Van Buren. So he goes for a
Is
run,
that
and
the seventh president, the fifth president of the United States? Is that Van Buren?
yeah, Martin?
The Van
No.
Buren boys?
This guy's name's Michael.
Little Seinfeld
Close.
reference for you.
So close. But he goes for a rush, ends up going out of bounds, converting the first down. And on the sideline, ends up kind of over by Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart kind of runs towards the guy, pushes him like right next to an official. Nothing's commented about it too much. And it's one of those things, as a head coach, putting a hand on the other player, especially in that fashion. Not a great look.
So this is one of those things where there's probably needs to be some context. I didn't see
Probably.
it live. I haven't seen an extended clip. Looked like Kirby Smart was pissed at the official. I don't think he was looking at the kid. I think he was just like, get the hell out of my way. Now, again, you don't put your hands on a player. Like, ask Woody Hayes.
Yeah, classic.
But I this isn't something like, what are you gonna suspend him? I mean, it's not, he wasn't coming for that kid. That kid was in between him and whoever he was going for. All right.
Right.
Now, if I were the SEC, I'd fine him, and I'd
Probably.
fine him probably pretty heavily. I'd probably fine him $100,000 or $200,000. Like, it'd be a big fine, but that'd be the extent of it. Because
Yeah.
it's not like he was going after that player.
Yeah, I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't necessarily say he was going after the player. I think it's more indicative of the overall issues that we are seeing at Georgia, which we've talked about as far as the leadership, right?
A
And
lack of self-control.
lack of self-control. And we've seen that, with the players consistently having various criminal charges, not the least of which is these driving, violations.
Million reckless drivings, but it does seem like things escalated a little bit.
You did. And I
Well, it
mean,
doesn't seem things escalated a little
yeah,
bit.
things have escalated, and it's quite apparent that Kirby's attitude on the sideline, the way he conducts himself, is not necessarily the most professional way to go about this. Now, we'll see how it plays with the rest of his players. We'll see what some of these other analysts have to say about everything as time goes on. But it just wasn't a great look, and it doesn't reflect well on the program as a whole, I don't think.
Right. It's a terrible look. And honestly, it reflects exactly what that program is right now.
Yeah.
Which, so if it's a bad look, then that's the problem, right? Right now, there's no discipline at Georgia. And you can't sit there with any good faith and tell me that there is. So, in that, looking at it through that lens, 100%, it's indicative of what's going on at Georgia. Does he need to be suspended or these other? No, I'm not big into that. I think the SEC, I fine him $500,000. I don't care. Like, make it a big point. Like, dig into his pocket, make it a big point. But there's no reason for a suspension or any of this other crap. But yeah, I would make a point of it. Like, keep your hands off of players, 100%. But again, if you watch it, he wasn't going after the kid was in his way. So again, self control issues, program, self control issues, head coach, trickle down effect. But yeah, I don't think there's any need to suspend him by any means. All right, let's get into the games this week that I have picked for our slate,
Let's
because
do it.
there's a couple on there I didn't pick that had some close lines. I think I didn't pick them because the teams have burned me too many times. But after going in the absolute shitter last week, we are now dead even. We are both 19 and 16.
Woo, getting there.
Yeah, it was a bad week for me. So I think I got these in the order I want to pick them. So we're going to start off, and I picked this one's a little bit bigger line, but I'm not sure that I believe the line. So Notre Dame is going on the road at Georgia Tech. Notre Dame is an 8.5 point favorite. It's a big line, right on the road. Georgia Tech's not chopped liver, man.
They're not, and I mean they looked pretty decent last week from what I'd seen.
So this is one where I don't know. For us, we need Notre Dame to win, right? You want Notre Dame to pretty much win out because every time they win, at least we didn't lose to a clunker of a program. But this game, it's at Georgia Tech. It's in Atlanta. It's at Georgia Tech.
Well, it's at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They're
Yeah,
playing.
it's
I'm about to
yeah
say
in Atlanta.
yeah,
Right.
they're not playing at home. They're
Well, they're not
playing
on campus. Yeah, it's in Atlanta. Like Falcons, Atlanta.
Falcons Stadium.
So big game, right? Big stage. Probably going to be a ton more Notre Dame fans than Georgia Tech fans.
Probably.
Although Georgia Tech is one of those programs that, to me, and I could be wrong here, but they were kind of a bandwagon type school when it comes to football. When they're good, man, will they show up.
Oh yeah, no, you're
And
absolutely right.
it's also possible that a lot of people will show up to root against Notre Dame. They are nationally disliked.
Absolutely, they are.
And Mercedes-Benz Stadium has a lot of seats to fill. All
It
right.
does.
So 8.5 points. I'd rather it be on campus, but it's still at home basically for Georgia Tech. And it's right up the freeway.
Not to
So
mention Haynes King out here balling around. It's always
Haynes
good.
King's having a great year, right?
I mean,
So
yeah,
this
he's
is
got
Haynes
a.
King against Riley, right? Haynes against Riley. I think this could be a great matchup. I think it'd be a ton of fun. This is a game that I really, really want to watch.
I'm with you. And I would love to keep up with this game. It's at 2:30. It's on ESPN. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Georgia Tech is going to give him a game. I have no doubt about that. But
So who are you picking now?
I'm picking Notre Dame.
Picking Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame, I mean, there I think there is a bit of a talent gap there. I think the way that they've been showing up last couple of weeks, I'm liking a lot better. You take care of the game against Louisville and you absolutely just put it on Stanford like you're supposed to, which like that's what we were expecting out of Notre Dame. I like them in this.
Notre Dame's starting to roll.
Yeah, I'd say, and I like them in this game, and not to mention the line opened at 10.5, it's moved up. I mean, it opened at 8.5, it's moved up to 10.5.
I just checked it this morning, 8.5.
It's a,
At
it, I guess.
10.5, I would take Georgia Tech to cover, though.
That's it. I can see absolutely Georgia Tech covering. I'm okay with that, but I
I think
think
Notre
that.
Dame wins by 7, maybe 10, but at 10.5,
Yeah.
you cover.
Yeah. I think Notre Dame wins that game.
All right. Yes, same here. I got the Irish. If we were picking on a line, though, I would take Tech, especially 10.5. At 8.5,
Yeah.
but
T ten and a
I think
half.
Georgia Tech can keep it within 10.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, next one up is the all-powerful number 24 ranked Michigan goes on the road to the Fighting Illini. Michigan is a 1-point favorite. I don't have much to say about this game other than Illinois.
Illinois, yeah. I mean, like Michigan just feels like a thin team right now. It just not a lot
Why are
shows.
they ranked?
Yeah. They
Why are they
shouldn't be.
ranked?
They shouldn't be ranked.
They shouldn't be ranked,
They're being
period.
ranked. They're being ranked strictly because they have that M logo. That's the
Yeah,
reason they're being
they're
ranked.
being ranked because they're wingtip helmet. That's
Right.
it.
You lost to Washington. Washington's not good.
No, they're not.
That's about the long and short of it. Washington's not a
Well,
good football team, and you lost.
Army's 23rd, Michigan's 24th, Navy's 25th.
Yep.
On a neutral field right now, do you think Army could beat Michigan?
Yes.
Do you think Navy could beat Michigan?
Potentially, yes.
Do
I
you
mean,
think Vandy could beat Michigan?
oh yeah, like
Then what
that's
are we doing with these rankings?
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah,
I don't disagree with you. Like I said, at the end of the day, it's because your number happens to be next to a very famous logo in college football. That's the long and short of it. You're getting the benefit of the doubt because of who you are historically. And that should not be the case ever in college football. Put Army and Navy
but it
ahead.
always is.
It always is, and it always will be, unfortunately. There's this whole stipulation around these blue bloods that
have earned their right to be in the top 25. And I'm like, no. If you are a 4-2 team, which is what they are right now, with the losses they have, granted, yeah, you lost to number one Texas. Okay, yeah, that's a good football team. But then you turn around and you lose to Washington, who's not a very good football team. And yet you're still ranked ahead of a lot of undefeated teams.
That's what's bonkers to me.
That's what bugs me. There's a lot of really good undefeated teams that should be ahead of you right now.
Because when it all comes out in the wash, if you haven't lost a game, you should be ranked ahead of those who have.
Agreed.
Well, with some exceptions, I get it. Army shouldn't be ahead of Ohio State. I get it.
Right. And
When you're
we
talking
should.
about, in those bottom part of the rankings,
Right.
where
I
people
would.
are trying to make that push, because now all you got to do is get to 12, give or
Right.
take, right?
I mean, I wouldn't put us ahead of Ohio State even with one loss apiece, right? I mean,
No.
I mean, you look at who each of us lost to. I mean, Ohio State lost a much tougher matchup, just
Yeah,
fact
100%.
of life.
Yeah, there's got to be an eye test part of it.
Okay.
So, all right, next up, the battle for the Golden Boot. LSU is on the road at Arkansas. LSU is a 3-point favorite because nobody's figured out Arkansas, and everybody thinks LSU are world beaters because they beat Lane Kiffin's injury fakers. Rebels, excuse me. Bears, whatever they are.
This game has shades to me a little bit of last week, obviously, with Ole Miss. We talked about weird games and weird places with weird teams involved, right? And we've talked about how Ole Miss, when they
Stranger
host up,
things.
that's it, when Ole Miss travels to Baton Rouge, it gets weird. When LSU travels to Arkansas, Fayetteville gets weird. It has every single time, I feel like. It's two fan bases of people that are truly like trailer trash in definition. Two groups of people who I have had plenty of run-ins with, and frankly would not be caught in polite conversation if I was stuck in between the two of them. If I was at this game, I'm pretty sure I would be in the 99th percentile of IQ. That being said, is it going to be crazy and wild? 100%.
Well, in this game, honestly, LSU Arkansas, I think it's a great rivalry. It's this game is nuts no matter where they play, right? It
It's a
just
great game.
is.
It's a
This
great
is
game.
the kind of game when Arkansas goes on the road. For some reason, it's like at 2:30 in Baton Rouge as opposed to a night game. Like this, everything is
Rarely.
always, this is another one of those weird ones. I don't know what else I can say about this. I think you kind of checked all the
It's
boxes.
weird.
Look, I believe in Arkansas more than I believe in LSU.
I agree.
So I'm going to take the Hogs in this one.
I will also be taking the Hogs in this one. I believe it or not. Like I said, this was one of those. I think LSU, yeah, they went out there and they won. Emotional, overtime game over Ole Miss with all the extra factors. I just, man, I like what I'm seeing out of Arkansas at home. And you know that those fans are emboldened with their win against Tennessee, right? And if you
Oh,
can
yeah.
beat Tennessee, we can beat LSU. Those fans are going to be rocking and rolling that place.
Well, it's funny you say about emotional win over a good, like, and Ole Miss is by no means a blue blood, but Lane Kiffin is a darling of the media. Ole Miss showed us last year that they might be going places, right? Then they spent a lot of money in the transfer portal. But this goes back to, was Ole Miss really ever a top 10 team? Can we say that, without reservation at this point? So who did LSU beat, right?
We don't
So
know.
that we and we're halfway through the season. I don't think we know yet. I think we have a better picture of it than the first rankings of the year when they came out. So I like
You're
if we played
halfway.
Ole Miss this year, I could see us beating Ole Miss.
I mean, with our defense, yeah. I mean, we've seen it with this Ole Miss team. I mean, they've been, yeah, high flying, death defying, scoring 70 points, but you're doing that against high schools, you know? It's like the moment you've actually played some legitimate defenses, you run into some problems. And A&M, at least at this stage of the game, I think it's fair to say that we have shown to be an elite defense. At
Yes.
least, yeah, at this stage of the game. So if we can continue that, I mean, I think it would be pretty clear to most people across the board. There's a lot of teams in the SEC that traditionally I would find to be a tough matchup that this year I'm really not all that worried about. I look at, guys like Alabama. I wouldn't be scared of Alabama this year. I wouldn't be scared of Ole Miss this year.
Georgia.
Frankly, yeah. And heck, Georgia would, yeah, it'd be a good game. I think A&M Georgia would be a phenomenal game. I think that's a far more balanced matchup. I mean, do I think Georgia potentially wins that one? Yeah. But do I think A&M and Georgia put on a much better show than we would have last year? 100%. 100%.
Do I think that the two best teams in the SEC reside in the state of Texas?
Right now,
There's a case to be made.
there is a case to be made. And it's crazy to think, because now with the updated odds across the rest of the schedule, all of a sudden A&M and Texas are on rails here to potentially meet up.
Collision course, man.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a crazy statement to make halfway through the season, considering what was discussed ahead of time. I don't know if that's what ends up happening. There's a lot of things that have to happen before we get there on both accounts. I mean, for the love of God, Texas still has to travel to Vanderbilt,
Well, nice.
which is
Well,
crazy to say, but.
yeah, well, it kind of is, right? Well, what's funny is, so a couple of weeks back, we were like, you know, the Texas game is going to be amazing because either we're playing for the playoffs or we're playing to knock them out of it. What if Texas is playing to knock us out of it? What if that's how it ends up by the end of the year? So it's,
It could
yeah.
be. I mean,
Again, we can look forward. Okay.
we haven't seen Texas play a caliber team that was really on their level yet. They haven't faced
Or
somebody.
anywhere near.
They're anywhere near, really.
I think that's why even at this point the jury is still out about Texas. That's not me being a maroon. That's taking my maroon glasses off. Texas is a really good football team, all right? But I want to see them do it against somebody that's pretty good. And so far, they haven't done it against anybody that's shown to be pretty good,
Their
right?
marquee win is ranked 24th right now,
And shouldn't be and shouldn't be ranked.
shouldn't be ranked.
100%. Their marquee win is against a team that we both agree the service academies could probably beat. If Army played Texas, they would get run out of the building. And I still think Army could beat Michigan.
I agree. I mean, that's just where we stand. So, oh God, but yeah, I agree with you. So, all going back to this game, I agree. I think Arkansas wins it.
Yeah, boy, we get the rabbit holes today.
We did.
Some bunny trails.
I love
So
it.
speaking of the Sips, though, Georgia goes to DKKK Royal.
Oh, that's a deep cut right there for all
Yeah,
the.
it is.
That's a for any
So
for anybody who doesn't know the history.
Georgia goes to Austin. Georgia's again, like we talked about, not clicking. Texas, despite their competition, is really kind of doing what they're supposed to do against the competition they played, right? Mississippi State holding in check a little bit. Oklahoma kind of looked like they had a pulse, but this is a big one, probably biggest of the weekend
No, without a
by
doubt. I
far.
mean,
By far. I don't even know where Georgia's ranked. Top 10, right?
five. They're number five
Five.
right now.
This is five at number one. Can Texas hold up against a defense that's good? And can the Texas defense actually perform against an offense that can throw the ball at all? Like throw the ball at all. They haven't played a passing offense yet.
But so this is probably one of the better passing offenses you're going to see. I mean, you saw what they did just last week with Mississippi State. I mean, you put up over 400 yards passing.
Doesn't matter who you did. That's an SEC defense. You put up over 400 yards. That's dumb, dumb.
It's dumb dumb. Yeah,
And you weren't
absolutely.
playing from behind.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you've got Georgia and Texas out here. And man, this is a tough matchup. Like, obviously, preseason, any of us would have asked, like, oh yeah, no, Georgia's going to walk, dog walk them, right? I mean,
Until
that's
we
what
figure out
we.
that Georgia hadn't figured out how to play football yet.
Well, Georgia needs to figure out a lot of things,
Yeah.
not the least of which is football. But I mean, if we're talking, this is a tough deal. I mean, you got the opening line here sitting the opening line. It opened even, and now you've got Texas sitting at about a 3.5 favor.
Yeah, I got 3.5. So
Right.
I think it really comes down to the fact that Georgia just hadn't gotten it figured out.
Right.
Right. And so, and in Texas, despite competition, Texas is clicking, right?
They have. I mean, they are in the good flow of things. And not to mention, Quinn Ewers is back in the backfield.
And it's at home.
Yep, that's at home. It's going to be a night game, 6:30. It's going to be prime time. Game day is going to be in town.
Be
It
rocking.
it's going to be probably the biggest game in Austin since I would say probably the 2016 Notre Dame game.
Gosh, yeah.
I mean, if we go back to like all the hype and all the excitement, yeah, they win that game. Texas is back, folks. Only for you to lose to Kentucky. I mean, to lose to Kansas later in the season. But
Tell you what, Texas beats Georgia, Texas might be back.
I'd say if Texas beats Georgia in this game, I think it's a pretty definitive. Okay, Texas is the team that we got to focus on this year.
We
That's
belong in the SEC kind of thing.
right.
So I've got Georgia.
I also have Georgia. I mean,
Yeah. Again, we're not. I just can't. I just can't. But unlike last week, I can actually see a path to where Georgia can win this game.
Well, especially with the passing game, right? I mean, we're talking an outstanding passing game, and we're going to see if the unstoppable force can break through the immovable object. And
100%.
It could happen. I mean, Texas, yeah, statistically, yeah, they look outstanding, but anybody's going to look outstanding with the schedule that they have at their talent level.
Yeah, we're going to find a lot. We're going to find a lot more about find out a lot more about Texas over the next few weeks. Just really kind of entering that what we always like to call the grind of SEC play, right?
Well, I mean, guys, you've gone through the first six games, right? And just analyzing the schedule ahead of us, right? So you've got Texas playing Georgia first. Then you go on the road after a bye week, mind you. But you go, oh, no, excuse me, I lied. That's the next week. So you play Georgia. Then you go to Vanderbilt. Then you host Florida. And that one is after a bye week. So you will host Florida after a bye week. Then travel to Arkansas, host Kentucky, have to go to A&M.
That Arkansas game is going to be tough, tough. Arkansas does not like Texas.
Oh, yeah. As much as they don't like us, they really don't like Texas.
Yeah,
I mean, that's old Southwest Conference hate right there.
100%.
So, I mean, really, the rest of their schedule, I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to go over by any means, but if you.
Oh, gosh, no. No, they're too good of a football team. I don't know that they're going to go undefeated, but this week will tell us a lot.
I mean, you could see them going 5-1, 0-4, over, I mean, like 4-2 over those last several games potentially, or you know, we'll see. Or they could run the slate and be, you know, 11-0 heading into Kyle Field. So who knows? All right. So we will come back to the rest of this here in a second. We got to get a phone call in. And we're back. We had to sort out a couple of things with the electrician.
Literally having technical issues. Like, we are having technical issues in the sense that I have some electrical issues in my home. That's why if you actually watch this on YouTube, you'll notice that my background's a little different. Yes. Don't ask. All right.
It's fine.
So, all right. So let's get into our game, right? On the road, Starkville, miserable, cowbells, yeehaw.
This lines up great with questions, which we will also get into very shortly, but.
Yeah. That actually does line up. I saw one of the questions. Ags are 15-point favorites. Look, this is cut and dry. Mississippi State's 1-5. They're a bad football team. Ags looked good. Had the bye week. You know, everybody gets to feel a little bit better. I'm sure we're going to hear all about the great practices we've had because every team always has great practices leading up to the game. Like, no one will ever come out and be like, it's really been a bad week of practice. Like, we just hope we can hang on. You're never going to hear that.
No.
But I like what I saw, you know, from the Ags, obviously against Missouri. And, you know, you want Missouri to continue to win now. And Missouri was on the road at Massachusetts this past weekend. Like, how weird is it for an SEC team to be on the road at Mass, right?
I'm not sure if you saw the video, but, oh, my God, there was, like, you know, their bus pulls in to a dirt lot, and everybody piles out of the bus and piles into basically what looks like a junior high field house. I mean, it literally looked like a high school stadium setup. That's literally what was going on at UMass. And they treated them like a high school team, you know, beat them like – beat them bad.
No, they did what they were supposed to do, and I get that. But I've got Ags. I've got Ags covering. And it's a tough place to play it. I know we don't have a great history there. I don't care. History doesn't dictate Saturday's game. All right?
No.
It just doesn't.
No. And
playing well, I believe in Elko, spending the bye week, getting everybody's minds, you know, keeping their minds right, staying on point, staying focused, having the extra week to prepare a little bit against a team that's just bad at football.
And this is the same Mississippi State team, mind you, that we ended up firing Jimbo Fisher after he dropped 40 on last year.
Yeah.
And that was already in the works. Everybody knew the firing was coming. But regardless, this is not a very good Mississippi State football team. A&M should absolutely go in there and dog walk them as we are expecting to. And I'm with you on that. I mean, we as the fans can look at this game and talk about all the extra you know, the X factors that we've had to deal with in the past. This is a different football team. This is our football team. This is Elko's team. He's going to go out there. Yeah. He's going to put it on them because he understands the assignment. He understands the assignment. We are 5-1, 3-0. They're 1-5, 0-3. Go out there, do your damn job.
Yeah. All right. So we're not going to have any movement between the two of us this week, one way or the other.
It was one of those weeks. The picks made sense.
Yeah, no, I'm not picking against my brain just for the sake of picking against you.
No.
So let's get into a couple of questions, and then I got to close this up because, like I said, I'm literally having technical issues at my house.
Yes. So we got to speed run these real quick, but Garrett Smith, our buddy, had
Two questions. Number one, assuming we, at least one of y'all, which is both of us, have been to Mississippi State, are the cowbells loud or are they clickety-clacky as they sound on TV? Two, should we have kept the snowball whiteout tradition we did for a couple of years?
Let's start with number two. No.
No, we lost that game, damn it.
Yes. No. Please no. And the uniforms we wore when we were in school, those that silver tech, no. No.
I did like, so State comes out in 2012 wearing all white, and we came out in the all black. That was pretty cool. I don't think anybody's going to deny that. That was our first big alternate uniform we ever did on the road at Starkville right before we played Alabama the next week. And everybody was like, "Oh yeah, and it'll just come out maroon, it'll be fine." No, we came out in all black and dunked on them. It was awesome.
Well, so and I look, I like the all white uniforms we wore this year. So
Yeah.
if it's like within the rotation of what we wear, I don't have a problem with it. But like doing a special uniform at Mississippi State is just a bad idea.
Well, and the only reason it happens is because we're both Adidas schools, and Adidas likes to show off their uniforms against other Adidas schools. And we've
Yeah.
seen that happen for years. I mean, if you look at us in the past, we've had several uniforms that have been
Yeah.
used against State, which is
Yeah,
another.
and it's every time it's against State, and every time we play against State, we do something stupid with our uniforms, we friggin' lose.
So don't do that.
Yeah, how about no? First question, what do you ask about the cowbells?
So are they loud? Yes, they are.
Bro, they are
Suck.
loud.
They suck. I hate them.
They are miserably loud, straight up, dude. So when we went there the year before, they had just enclosed one end, right? Wasn't that
Yeah.
the year? And I'll tell you what, dude, they are legit loud inside there. Obviously, when they go on the road, you only have your little student section, but man, when you're talking about 60,000 people with freaking cowbells and legit cowbells, not like I put this on my, mom for prom kind of crap. I'm talking about full blown, like you grow, like if you're born into a Mississippi State Bulldog family, I guarantee. So you know how like when Ags have kids, they get a 12th man towel and it says class of, 20 bajillion or whatever, and we do that. These kids are born with cowbells and they're legit. And Rob's got one. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. If not, Rob has got one. It is full-fledged a cowbell.
Yeah, these things don't play around. And I believe it or not,
Please don't.
I
Please
got a
don't.
hold of this one. This was actually a really, really funny deal. So when we went and played, listen, I ended up getting a hold of this one. It was just anyway, without going into all the details, I just got a hold of this one. So we got, obviously the State on this side. I threw an A&M on there just to have for posterity. But yeah, when you have 60,000 of these things ringing around, it is so obnoxious. And I mean, I would highly recommend if you are traveling there this weekend, bring some ear protection because you're going to hate life.
Well, and on top of that, I think you really truly understand how loud they are when they all stop.
Right.
Because they all have to stop at a certain time, when the offense is getting ready to snap the ball. So yeah, I think maybe you even learn how, because there comes a point where it's almost white noise. But every time they stop, you're like, oh, I'm back on Earth again.
Yeah, and
So yeah, bro, they are loud.
they're obnoxiously loud.
They're
Tonight,
clingy. They're clingy clangy when they're on the road because there's not that many of
right, but yeah,
them.
they're quite loud when they're all going, and I would highly recommend ear protection if you're going to the game this weekend. And hopefully we get up early and often enough that the fans just kind of peter out. And that's what happened in 12. That's what's happened a few other times. That's what's going to help us. So
Yeah, they get sick of ringing the cowbells when they're losing.
exactly. So, Jonna did say, thoughts on the NCAA settlement?
She and I actually had this conversation last night to an extent. And I think I might have touched on it earlier today, and that was probably because I was thinking about it last night. The sooner we can get away from the NIL model and to revenue sharing, I think the better off we'll all be.
I agree.
I'm a firm believer in that. The only entities that it's going to hurt are the schools, and the schools have been raking in so much money, and it's something I think we covered. The schools have all this money, and yet they're still coming to the fans going, hey, we need more money. Well, then you're not running a tight enough budget. You're overpaying way too many people, and it's going to have a trickle down effect in athletics, but it's not going to affect the athletes. And I think that's where this is moving, and I'm fine with that. And the arms race, like when it comes to building facilities, fine, man. Ask You can ask the donors for everything you want to, because there's plenty of donors out there that want their names on buildings, they want special access, they want all this, and that's what that stuff is for. The revenue that you're getting from all these TV contracts and all this other crap needs to, like, some of it's got to be going to the students, because NIL creates a model that is completely out of control. And it's because the way NCAA basically released it, again, we use this phrase all the time, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's too late.
Too
So
late.
what we've really got to fight towards, or what I really hope we're going towards at some point, is revenue sharing with, some sort of athlete players association. I think that's the way.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. One final question. This is from Jive Jimbo. Oh, excuse me, Jive Coach G.
I don't think Jive Jimbo's around anymore.
Nope. Nope. Jive Coach G said, "Did y'all catch the U.S. men's match on Saturday? Any thoughts about Tuesday's match against Mexico and Guadalajara? Does Robert Earl Keane win a Grammy for his new album?"
He peppered us some questions. I did not catch the match. I saw some highlights.
Same.
I love to see that opening goal with Pulisic and who contributed to it. Of
Yeah.
course, as soon as I want to think about it, I can't remember.
Same.
Match against Mexico and Guadalajara. Here's my thoughts about that. I'm sick of international breaks. Stop doing it. That's my thoughts about it. Go back to the Premier League. Go back to Bundesliga. Get back to your job. All right. I'm so sick of international breaks. We had two international breaks and we played like five matches in the Premier League. We're already on our second international break. It's garbage. Stop.
You're not wrong.
Now, as far as that match specifically, we're playing Mexico in Mexico, man. Like, could there be a more exciting, like, game that means nothing?
Well, and not to mention playing Mexico in not Mexico City, because I feel like
Right?
we almost always play them in Mexico City. So the fact that it's going to Guadalajara is very interesting.
Yeah, I will be watching. No, I'll be watching that match. So I'm excited about it. But again, I haven't watched enough international competition this year to be able to tell you.
And you saw we signed new coach.
Well, yeah, but I think you have to be excited about having Poch. Yeah, I mean that's a given. So,
That's a step
anything,
up.
and well, and U.S. men's national team fans remind me a lot of being in the Army. The two best places you'll ever be in the Army are where you're going and where you just came from. It's never where you are. It's never where your feet are, right? We always complain all the time, like things will get better. Well, you know what? Maybe this is the time where things are actually going to get better, because Poch has a resume, right? This is the kind of coach that 10, 15, 20 years ago, the U.S. men's national team couldn't even get. Like, if you'd have called, they'd have been like, new phone, who dis? No, I'm not listening to the United States, men's national team to coach there. It's an abysmal failure, pretty much, minus one run in the 90s with Alexi Lawless, right? And so, we don't meet the expectations of a country our size, right?
No, but then again, a lot of the bigger countries don't, right? Like, we haven't seen it with China. We haven't seen it with India, like, in terms of population, right? I
No,
mean,
I'm talking about in terms of development, right? Germany,
well,
England, Spain, Portugal, Mexico, Canada. These are the Canada
resources, yes.
resource.
Resources, yeah, the resources for soccer. I mean, they're all there. We have the athletes. We can absolutely field some kind of team that would be able to compete on
Feels
that.
like we haven't had a manager in forever.
Right.
Like
What was it?
worth a dookie.
I mean, I like Jurgen Klinsmann, all right. When he was here, right?
Oh, that's fair.
That's
Yeah, but
I
I
like
liked
Jurgen.
him, but
And he did well while
what
he
did
was
we
here.
want? Yeah.
But he gets run out, and it's just kind of been us kind of kicking the can down the road with some of the best athletes that we've ever had playing for the men's national team
Yeah, just
over here.
wasting it, wasting the talent
Wasting.
because of poor head coaches. So that's where I think you have to be excited. It's Poch, man.
It's Poch, and I'm okay with that. I think taking a guy like that who has got Premier League experience, who has big time professional experience, and can apply that to those higher level players in the international realm, I'm okay with. I think he's going to be a perfectly fine
He's
coach.
just a ton of international experience. So I think you have to be really excited. So I think that's where maybe the match on Tuesday should be fun to watch. I mean, it's not completely worthless. I get it, but still.
That'd be interesting. But he
Go
also
back to
asked,
England.
yes. Then he wrapped up with, "What did, do you think Robert Earl Keane's new album deserves a Grammy? That being Western Chill, it's a great record. I'm a big fan of it. I like it a lot. I feel like Robert Earl Keane should always be in contention for things like that because he's one of my favorite writers." But you know,
But I think realistically, this is one of those things where we all picked OU last week just because we hate Texas, right?
all right.
So yeah, I could pick REK to win a Grammy because I love him, but no,
I would love for it
I
to
just
be. It's
can't
a
see
great
it.
record.
Yeah, no, I just can't see it. Like And this is maybe this is just a weird little side rant. The days of musicians like REK winning Grammys are just about done.
They are. Unfortunately, we're at a day and age where like every song has to be produced a certain way. You have to have this many writers on it. You have to have this many, like people
And you
around
have
the
to be
market.
well liked and in the right circles.
Yeah, I mean that's a fact of life. And
Or brand new, but some older artist or somebody well entrenched in the industry found you and has set you on a path.
That is certainly a thing that happens at all levels. I won't go into specifics, but that has happened with several bands. And
That is also the opposite of REK.
that's the opposite of REK. REK is very old school. I mean, he's in the Jerry Jeff Walker camp. He's one of these guys that's the songwriter who's going to put out the music that he wants to put out. And you know what? I love that. That's where we're at this stage of the game. Hopefully we never leave that because it's a special deal to write your own music. Get it produced, put it out, and you don't have somebody in your ear, from a big record label telling you, oh, well, people want to hear this, people want to hear that. I'm like, I
Oh,
don't
he
give
stayed. Yeah, he stayed true to it. So I think you got to respect that.
Yeah.
So, all right, I got to
And
wrap because I got to fix my entire house apparently.
yes. So be sure to follow us on all socials and whatnot. All the good stuff. If you're on YouTube, all socials are down there. Roy May 15, Roy May Jr. on Instagram. Rob the Slapper on both Instagram and X. I am Rob White. This is
Well,
Roy
just
May.
real quick, you got anything coming up? Shows? Fire off.
Yes, we're playing in
What shows you
Stephen.
got coming up?
We're playing Stephenville this week as well as Yorktown. So over there, kind of by Victoria Quero area, we're playing the Western days out there. Should be Giovanni and the Hired Guns,
Nice.
John Wolfe, and us that day, and then we're headlining up at the Twisted J in Stephenville. And there's gonna be a dummy roping with belt buckles to be won. So if you are interested in roping and you're in Stephenville and you want to come to see the show, hit us up. It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a blast. But
Nice. That's awesome. Well, me, I got work. That's all I got. But I will say a little quick plug for Bach Realty Group.
yes.
Tuesday, if you're in Bryan College Station, Tuesday from 2 to 5, especially if you're an agent, we're doing a little bit of a kind of a it's the realtor tour day. So if you're an agent and you want to see it, we've got 2 houses over on Reliance Ridge, 5969 and 5981. We're doing charcuterie and wine and giveaways and all that stuff. So if you're an agent in Bryan College Station or kind of in the surrounding areas, you want to see them. They're both beautiful homes, $700,000-$800,000. They're sitting on over an acre. Beautiful homes. And so if you want to check that out, again, it's over on Reliance Ridge. Just go to on our socials. You'll be able to find it. Trust me, we're pushing it up.
Sounds good. All right, guys. Be sure to catch up with us. We'll be back at it next week. I'm Rob White, Roy May with the Red Ass Podcast. Beat the hell out of Mississippi State.
Yeah, beat the hell out of Klanga. Yeah, go.
Final, final, final.